I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And I'm going to read it in bits and pieces as we go through this message this morning. So just turn to Luke 1 and then just keep your Bibles open, and we'll be reading different verses as we go through this look at Mary this morning. Let's bow together in prayer before we begin. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity again for all of us to come to your word. This is a very familiar story, Lord, and we might just be easily brush it off and think we know most, first of all the details, and then second of all, that we really can't learn any lessons from it. But I just pray that by your Spirit, you might surprise us afresh and anew. You might give us new insight into this story, and that the principles that come out of the story, Father, might be applied to us, and that we would leave here with a new sense of faith, a new sense of trust, a new courage to abandon ourselves to you, and we will give you the praise and the glory for that. Amen. So this morning, I would like us to carefully read together the story of Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, so we might find out more about her and more about ourselves and about our faith through looking at the story of Mary. I find that what is most familiar to me in Scripture is what I have to read most carefully, because I tend to just, I know that story, and so I just kind of run through it, and I miss what God wants to speak to me, and maybe even miss some of the details that I never noticed before. So we're going to carefully read through this wonderful story of Mary and the Annunciation to Mary. And let me start with verses 26 and 27. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. What we have here is a verse that points out the timely, specific, willful fulfillment of God's eternal plan to bring Jesus into the world in a human body. Remember last week we just talked about Jesus saying to God, "You have given me a body." And in that body he fulfilled God's purpose from the book of Hebrews. Here we see that this is not willy-nilly plan, but a timely, specific, willful, determined plan that God is bringing to fulfillment through the birth of this Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Annunciation that he's bringing to Mary. The sixth month refers back to the supernatural pregnancy of Elizabeth to bring forth John the Baptist. She is in her sixth month of pregnancy. The angel Gabriel has visited Zechariah while he offered incense in the temple and told him that he would have a son that would prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And now this was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And once again, Gabriel was dispatched from the throne of God to make another momentous announcement. I'm sure every one of you has a favorite verse from these nativity stories, and mine is Luke 1:19. Zechariah says to the angel, after he announces to him that his wife, who's advanced in years, is going to have this special baby, John the Baptist, he says to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Zechariah wants a sign from God to convince him that God will indeed give him this wonderful son that he has been promised. And the angel answers Zechariah with these amazing words, "I am Gabriel, the one standing before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you these things." Now let me translate that from the Greek for you. Zechariah, you don't need a sign. I'm Gabriel, the messenger of God. I stand before God, and I am here to tell you that you are going to have a son. You don't need a sign. I am enough for you. But he does give him a sign. He makes him so that he can't speak until the child is born. We find that same authority given to us in verse 26 of the story of the Annunciation to Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent from God. When I read verses 26 and 27, what flashes in my mind is top priority. You know, you see these movies and they always have these big stamps on the outside of the portfolio, top secret, highest priority, that kind of thing. That's what I see here. This is not left to the heavenly communications department. This is a message direct from the throne of God using the primary messenger of God, Gabriel, to bring this message directly from the throne to Mary. This is a top priority announcement. The other thing that catches my eye in these two verses is how specific the details are. In the sixth month, to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who is engaged to a man named Joseph, who is from the house of David, and the virgin's name is Mary. This announcement has been planned. Here's a fulfillment of God's plan that started in eternity, at least in the garden, in Genesis 3:15, with the promise of the seed that is now being fulfilled. And every single piece of the plan has been put together and is now focused on this woman named Mary, who's engaged to this man named Joseph, who lives in the city of Nazareth, who's going to receive this announcement on the sixth month of her cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy. Amazing detail, fulfilling God's purpose and plan. I want you to notice also that in the recording of this text, God has Luke write down twice that this Mary is a virgin to fulfill Isaiah 7:14. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. As I look at these two verses, I see the sovereign purpose of God being worked out in time in history. That fascinates me, by the way. You probably noticed that because I mentioned that quite a bit. But to see the purposes of God worked out in time and in history, that roots my faith. That gives me assurance that God is working in this world in a very specific way. Once again, we are assured from Scripture that God is in charge and knows all things and is involved in the details of our daily lives. What a joy it is to walk with God and see Him working out His purposes and then to be part of the working out of those purposes. Myself and each one of us can be part of working out God's purposes day by day, taking those eternal plans and bringing them down to time and history, seeing how He works and then working with Him in those plans and purposes. It can be exciting to look each day and say, how is God working in my life and in this situation? And then to try to work along with God in that situation. And there's probably more situations like that than you would think. I find myself missing a lot of those situations on a day-to-day basis. You walk away and said, oh man, there was another opportunity. God was at work in that situation and I missed it, you know, because I was preoccupied with something else or I had another agenda and, you know, 9:25, that wasn't on my schedule kind of thing. But God is at work and we need to open our eyes to see God at work and then get in line with God's purposes on a day-to-day basis. All right, let me read to you 28 to 33 here. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Contrary to the pictures we find in Sunday school curriculum and Christmas cards, I don't get the impression from these verses that Gabriel appeared to Mary in dazzling glory with wings and a halo. I think Gabriel entered Mary's presence in a very ordinary way as an ordinary man. Notice that it was not Gabriel's appearance that troubled Mary, but his words. Often our depiction is that Mary is troubled because of this appearance of this majestic being, but it's really his words that trouble her and not his appearance at all. Hello! You have been favored. The Lord is with you. This was not an unusual greeting, but one that lifted up Mary as someone very special in the eyes of God. Mary did not consider herself as favored by the Lord. And it says Mary was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What does all this mean? Who is this man that has come in and told me, I am favored of God and the Lord is with me? This strange greeting from an unknown man troubled Mary and filled her with fear. Gabriel first comforts Mary and then brings her the message that she will be the mother of the Son of David and of the Son of God. He says to her, do not be afraid. And then he calls her Mary, a name that she has not communicated to him, but that he knows from the message he has received from the throne of God to go to this woman called Mary. And then he says to her one more time again, you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God, Mary. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. The word translated as favor is the Greek word charis, from which we get the word grace. And in other places in the New Testament, it is translated as the word grace. It is true, Mary. God has placed this grace upon your life. And now Gabriel explains to her how this grace is to be worked out in Mary's life. Mary is going to conceive and bear a son. She is going to call his name Jesus. This son is to be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. God will give this son of Mary the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never come to an end. Quite a promise. Mary has truly found favor with God. As it was hard for Mary, so it is hard for us to accept that we stand in God's favor, and perhaps even harder to believe in the promises that God gives to us. Mary's not alone in her astonishment that she has found favor with God and in receiving a great promise from God. We stand with her in that situation. Let me give you one example of that in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Let me read that to you. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. A wonderful promise there of God's blessings and the assurance that we stand in God's favor. If you are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to believe what I have just read. Justified means that you know that God has forgiven your sins and that God completely accepts you as righteous because you are in Christ. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from sin and know that you are born again, you are no longer under God's condemnation, but are under God's peace. Will you believe that? You are at peace with God. That's a promise that God gives. Not sometimes, but all the time. Your peace with God will never change. Forever, you are at peace with God if you are in Jesus Christ. When you fall into sin and the devil comes and says, God is not pleased with you anymore. God has no longer put his peace on you. Will you believe the promise? Or will you believe what the evil one is saying? Not only are you at peace with God in Christ, but you are also permanently stand in God's grace. I love that part of this verse. It just means so much to me. You live in the spotlight of God's favor. Will you believe that? You walk in the spotlight of God's favor? Well, it's raining in my spotlight. No, you're standing in the spotlight of God's favor. Look for God's favor in that situation. You're standing in the spotlight of God's favor. Take a hold of that promise and live in that wonderful truth no matter what circumstances cross your life. And finally, you live in hope of the glory of God. Is that your hope? You live in hope of the glory of God. This hope is an anchor of your soul. Hebrews 6:19 that tells us that that hope is anchored in the veil in Christ Jesus. So you have found favor with God and have the promise of peace with God. You stand in the grace of God and have the joy of the hope of participating in the glory of God. Would you believe this message from God for you, O favored ones? No matter what your circumstances are, will you believe that in Christ you are favored of God? It's not always easy to believe these promises from God, but in trusting God, there is great blessing. God has given us so much favor, so much grace, and so many promises in Scripture, and that's just one of them. That's why I want to encourage you to read God's Word meditatively each day and prayerfully that you might find God's promises and know of His favor upon your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, in verses 34 to 38, Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 38. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel parted from her. It's interesting that Mary doesn't really seem to express any reaction to the royal and divine status of this son that is to be born of her. Maybe she didn't really grasp the fullness of Gabriel's message because it was so amazing. Perhaps the thought of her virgin status prevented her from fully hearing Gabriel's message. You know, sometimes you have something in mind and you don't really hear what other people are saying. So maybe that was it. Certainly that's the question that she poses to Gabriel here. How will this be since I am a virgin? Now, in the Greek, the word virgin is not there. And some of your translations might express that. Mary really says this, "How will this be since a man I know not?" I don't know a man. How can I become pregnant and satisfy the promise that you give of this child? Let's remember, Mary's engaged to a man named Joseph. Did Mary assume that she would marry Joseph and then they would have a son and that this son would be the one that fulfills this promise? She's asking for direction from this angel. "I'm a virgin right now. What should I do? I don't know a man. What is the plan? Go on and marry Joseph? Or do you have another plan for me? I don't think Mary's in doubt. She's asking for direction in this. Mary is asking for direction on the fulfillment of this promise of a son. Gabriel has an answer for Mary. He says, the son will not be conceived by Joseph, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mary will conceive this son by God, and therefore the son will be holy and will be called the Son of God. Gabriel further encourages Mary by revealing to her that her cousin Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant. One who could not conceive has conceived, and a child, a son, is going to be born to her. He gives Elizabeth's example, and then he says, because nothing is impossible with God. I love this, and I looked it up and studied it a little further. What the literal translation of this is, and again, you'll have that in some of your notes in your Bibles, some of your study Bibles. This is what Gabriel said. Because will not be impossible with God every word. Will not be impossible with God every word. That's what he literally says to Mary. That's beautiful, isn't it? And it fits in so much with Mary's answer we'll see in a moment. Gabriel is saying to Mary, every word that God speaks is fulfilled. That'd be good for us to learn, wouldn't it? Reading scripture. Every word that God speaks is fulfilled. There are no empty words in God's promises. And Elizabeth's pregnancy is an example of the sure word of God. That's what Gabriel is saying to Mary. Every word, including the word I bring to you from the throne of God, will be fulfilled. This literal translation, because will not be impossible with God every word, is echoed in Mary's response to God about God's word to her through Gabriel. Mary says, behold, I am the bondservant of the Lord. Mary calls herself a slave, a doulos of the Lord. She humbles herself completely before God's will. And then Mary says, in response to what the angel said, that every word of God is fulfilled, she said, let it be to me according to your word. I submit myself completely to you, and I will see God fulfill his word in me. This could be what Mary is saying. Since God fulfills his every word, then let him fulfill his word to me as he chooses, for I am his slave to do with as he pleases. That's Mary's beautiful response to God's favor and God's message to her through the angel Gabriel. Then the angel left. Mary went to visit Elizabeth for 3 months, and when she returns to Nazareth, she's pregnant with child. Mary didn't understand all that God was doing in her life and through her life, but she knew what God said he would do, he would do. Mary was willing to let God have his way completely with her, and in her humble obedience became an important part of the fulfillment of God's purpose to save humanity through the cross of Christ. The same attitude of complete submission and obedience and availability to God will bring the same results in us. God will fulfill his purpose and work his salvation in the lives of those around us. Like God's Son Jesus, who humbly obeyed his Father, like a slave would obey his master, like Mary, who humbly gave her life up for God to use, like a slave to her master, so God calls us to lay down our lives at his feet for his use as he pleases. We do not know what that will mean in our life, but we do know God's love, his goodness, and his sovereign rule over all people and all things. And that is enough. God will fulfill his purpose in the world and in the church, and invites us to join him in fulfilling that purpose. You can be part of God's great purpose by humbly submitting to the will of God, as Jesus did as Mary did, and as many other saints who have gone before us have done. It's a beautiful story because of the beautiful attitude of Mary and the gracious favor of God to Mary. I think God was so favorable to Mary because he knew her heart was a heart for God. And that's what we all need, a heart for God. Then it's easy to say, have your way. Do what is right. And even to believe your word will be fulfilled. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your favor upon us in Christ. Thank you for your unfailing love for Christ. And in Christ, Father, that is the love you have for us. Thank you, Father, for the perfect righteousness of Christ. And in Christ, that is the righteousness we have before you. Thank you, Father, that we can, without fear, lay our lives at your feet and say, Lord, have your way. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.